Okay, so the first thing we're going to do with the element induction, we're going to start with the element and we're going to progress. My suggestion for you is make your goal to go as deep as you can and have fun with this. Because later we're going to play the game, how deep can you go? And we're going to see how many of the deep trance phenomena you can produce. Right? So make it your goal to see how many you can produce. And then you're going to produce it with a client. So that'll be even more fun. So we'll just briefly go over the element pre-talk induction again, and then I will demonstrate it. And then we're going to we'll break into groups, and we'll actually do the element hypnosis. So the first thing that you'll do is we'll want the hypnosis handouts, and they could be, you may have put them in section 6 of your manual. And we're looking at page 10 first. That's where the pre-talk is. The pre-talk is on page 10. For the pre-talk, basically, we're just going to, it says script for pre-talk induction down toward the bottom. It says, so you're just going to read this once you get together with your partner. You're going to say, now, did you know that if you really wanted to, you could squeeze your fist so tight and make it so tight that you couldn't squeeze it any tighter? Like you could squeeze it so tight that you couldn't possibly squeeze it any tighter. So go ahead and try that right now and get them squeezing it, and they'll squeeze it. You go, good. Now, as you're squeezing it as tight as you possibly can, you could probably get to that point where you couldn't squeeze it any tighter, right? And they go, right. Okay, now, if you really wanted to, you could also relax it like a rag doll. So now just relax it like nothing. And you could relax it so much that you couldn't relax it anymore. Okay, so you have the ability to both flex, tighten, and relax. That's true, isn't it? Sure. Then you're going to tell the client that the eyes are the easiest to relax. So now realize that of all the muscles in your body, the eyes are the easiest part to relax. Now, if you were to close them, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you've had a long, hard day, what's the first thing to close? It's kind of like, oh. Yeah, so the eyes are really easy to relax. So if you were to close your eyes, you could imagine that, and relax them very deeply. You could imagine doing that, couldn't you? And they go, yeah. Okay, now what I want you to do for a second is just watch my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes and relax them so deeply. I'm going to relax my eyes so deeply that I couldn't possibly open them. Now, you could imagine that it would be possible that while holding on to that relaxation, like if I really held on to the relaxation, that I wouldn't be able to open them. I mean, I could try to open them, but if I really held on to the relaxation, I couldn't open them. Kind of like, oops, I opened them. I wasn't supposed to. Let me try it again. Okay, I was supposed to relax them so much that I couldn't open them. And then when they're that relaxed, I can't, even if I were to try, if I held on to the relaxation. That makes sense, doesn't it? Why don't you go ahead and try that? Just relax the muscles around your eyes until they're so relaxed that you couldn't open them. And you don't have to do this now. I'm just saying this is what you'll say to the client. Okay? And then go ahead and test them and make sure you can't. Okay? Now, if the client opens their eyes at that point, say, okay, well, you just opened them. You proved to yourself you can open them. Now prove to yourself something different. This time relax the muscles so much that you couldn't open them. Okay? And then finally the client will go like that, and you'll go, that's right, very good. Sometimes with a really tough client, like if somebody's like really just not grasping it, I'll say, okay, try this. I say, close your eyes and pretend you can't open them. And they'll go like this. And I'll go, good. Because that's the same result. Because we know you could open them. I mean, clearly anybody could open their eyes. But if you were to hold on to the relaxation, pretend and find you can't. Good. And all you want them to do is to get that experience of, it's kind of like it's a place of suspended belief. Or suspended disbelief, rather, where they're just pretending that they can't open their eyes. They're trying and they're finding that they can't. Actually, if somebody really held on to the relaxation, they wouldn't be able to. Because if they open them, that means they weren't holding on to that relaxation. Right. Right. Because what you're teaching them in advance is you're teaching them the ability to listen literally to instructions. Like if I say try to open your eyes and find in vain that you cannot, then they're going to go like that. Now imagine if I give them a suggestion. Like sometimes later on in hypnosis, I'll compound suggestions. I'll give suggestions like, I wonder what it'll be like the next time you try to do that old problem, yet unconsciously refuse. Like imagine that, what it would be like. Like if the problem was, let's say the problem was a weight issue and they were overeating or this or that, and you say, imagine what it would be like the next time you try to do that old problem, yet unconsciously find you cannot. So it's a paradoxical bind is what it is. So it's like, huh, well, I'm trying, but I'm finding that I can't, just like I tried and found that I couldn't open my eyes. So I want to coach them in that way. I also want to coach them to the place of getting them, because the whole purpose with hypnosis is we want to get rid of the critical faculty. And this is the only difference, by the way, between if you were to do hypnosis with a trance induction and if you were to do NLP. How many minds do we have? Different answer for everybody. But we could look at it. We come up with models to accurate, so we can have an easier time of describing the concept of mind. Some people say we have one mind if they chunk up real big. Those are the big chunkers. Yeah. The smaller chunkers might say one, two, but they're thinking it's just my little mind right here. For our purposes, when we think of hypnosis, we think of having two minds, basically, and then a third mind if you're talking about the superconscious or the higher conscious. We're talking basically about the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. What divides the two is what we call the critical faculty. That would be like the higher conscious or superconscious. It's like listening to your direct source. Yeah. Well, that would be your conscious mind, actually. So when a child, remember we say that age 0 to 7 is the imprint period? The reason why that's the imprint period is because a child is almost pure unconscious mind. They don't have the ability to reason. They don't have all that. That develops over time. So a child is like a little sponge because they're almost pure unconscious mind. Then over time, they begin to develop the ability or the faculty of reason.